It is Oscar Sunday. It is Podcast Sunday. It is a sunny day in Los Angeles. I'm wackadoodle. I'm a little tired. Got up in the middle of the night, did Fox and Friends, came back, grabbed a couple hours of sleep. We got a killer show. It's a great show. But later on, I got an awesome interview with Lisa Tate. She's one of the frequent contributors to LoftusParty.com. Last week, we did our best of show. I was on the road. Before that, we had Paul Hare on the show. It's fantastic. It's all coming together, and I love it. We got the gypsy on the other end of the soup can and string. How's it going?
Very good. It's actually a sunny day in North Georgia, and the first one we've had in over a week. I really thought we were entering the second flood.
I think it's everybody. I don't know, climate change, whatever you want to call it. I think everybody's having a rough winter. I know it's been.
I just call it rain.
Okay. Okay. Which is technically kind of a change in the climate. It's been crazy
but not the
cold.
Deadly kind.
No.
No.
It certainly isn't. It certainly isn't deadly. So. I just want to, just a couple quick updates. As I said, later on, we got a great, I really, really like Lisa. And you guys, when I, in the description of theloftusparty.com, it says, you know, for geeks and gamers and people who are into life, liberty, and the pursuit of some serious happiness, this is the geek part. This is the geek part. I could have talked with Lisa we could have done an hour. Just on our love of Tolkien and Lord of the Rings. So just so you know, that's what's going on.
And Lisa also does a good job spreading some serious happiness. She's a very positive
she does.
Person.
She does. I didn't realize that she was into, the car community and the classic cars and all that stuff. It's wonderful. It's a good time. Now, of course, we're going to talk a little bit this week about the Oscars. We're going to talk about Jussie Smollett. We're going to talk about Laura Logan. We're going to talk about North Korea, the Democratic field, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. All that stuff is coming up. We're going to be talking about Robert Kraft. We're going to be talking about R. Kelly. It's all of this will be in the show. And Gypsy, you've got some the inside scoop. And this is what I love about you and the incredible research you're doing, another project you're working on, a series of articles. We're going to get to all that good stuff. It's wonderful and good, and it's hopefully why people are digging the podcast. A couple of updates that I want to give you, and these are in no particular order, okay? So I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Update number one, the Patreon is coming right along. We picked up a couple new Patreon people. I'm bad at this. I've never done this before. It's like the website, you guys. It's like the podcast. It's like the website. It's like all of it. I've never done this before. So I appreciate you being patient with me. One of the things that Patreon says to do is like, well, set a goal. I'm still working on the goals. I really am. Cause like one of the things that I want to do and it's like, I'm not a business guy. I tell jokes. I like to create, so I appreciate your patience. But like in terms of goals, I'll just generally spitball some to get some for people like Paul Hare and people like the Gypsy over here and Rick who produces and Lisa who's for everyone who contributes to the greater good of the giant family of theloftusparty.com. I want to get some money in their pockets, and then. As well, and this is not, I want to, grow awareness for the site. Now you guys are helping. You're doing your part. You're sharing the videos and you're subscribing and you're telling your friends about it. So that's great. I got to buy some old school ads. And this is in terms of the priorities that I have to figure out. The other thing that I want to do is, increase the quality of everything. The videos on the YouTube channel, the videos on theloftusparty.com. I sat down with some people, and it's always good to have people who have never been to theloftusparty.com. They've never been to the website. They look, they give feedback. So the money's not going to be wasted. I feel you guys have no idea how much guilt I feel about being on Patreon. It is weird. It's you can make the argument that it is like internet panhandling. However, I'm not running out and buying drugs with the money. It's all actually going to the thing, the loftistparty.com, and increasing the quality. So I just want to say I genuinely appreciate it. And I'm not wasting anybody's money. I'm not out in front of the internet 7-Eleven trying to score a six pack of Coors Light. Okay, so that's that. So thank you guys for that. Update number two is the deplorable show. Now, last week we did a best of. I was on the road, and that's why I love doing the interviews, because we can put that kind of stuff together. The deplorable show, it gives me faith in humanity. It gives me hope for the country. We stopped in Albany, and it was very cold. Albany's a weird town.
My home.
Yeah. You have a very weird hometown there, Gypsy.
Thank
you. Architecturally speaking, mm-hmm. there's some of the most beautiful the state capitol, the Capitol building, is mm-hmm. absolutely gorgeous. You go around corner after corner, and you're like, look at that, look at that. And then you have these giant monstrosities in the middle. I don't know when the last time you were back, but these things look like they were built in the 70s.
No, they've been there my whole life. We have our own little twin towers there.
There's like four
the
little
state
there's
museum's
like,
pretty funky. Yeah.
It just looks like something out of the Eastern European old Soviet giant, just like these giant monoliths of poured concrete. It was horrible. Those buildings, I hate them. This postmodern, I can't stand them. Yep. But a lot of the stuff was beautiful. And we performed in this place called The Egg. Are you familiar with The Egg?
I am very familiar with The Egg, and it looks like a half an egg.
Yeah.
From the
yeah.
outside, yes.
And it was a really weird, really odd space. Like, mm-hmm. once you were inside it was great. But, not a fan of The Egg. Be that as it may, the show was fantastic. A boatload of people came out. A mm-hmm. boatload of people came out. We had an awesome time. And
because
then we went on.
Upstate is not the city.
Oh, it was so fun. It was so fun to talk to people in Albany after the show. Mm-hmm. After the show. Cause they kept apologizing for what Cuomo's doing, and it's just, and all you can say is you guys are the absolute, you're the best example of why you need an electoral college, because
right.
the state of New York is run by Manhattan. And what's good for Manhattan ain't good for the rest of the state. So that's why we have an electoral college. So that doesn't happen on a grand scale. Mm-hmm. So, just quickly, I'm going to bang this out as fast as I can. Cleveland. So we were down in the Playhouse Square in Cleveland. That was insane. So the crowd was really big in Albany. It was huge in Cleveland. And wow, and that city, they Playhouse Square is fantastic. A boatload of people came out. The audience response was just nuts. It was just nuts. And we got video of all this stuff. I'm not allowed to release it yet. They're being very careful about where they're doing it, and there's a bunch of considerations to be made. But I cannot wait for people to see the Cleveland show, and then. And then Nashville. Holy cow.
Love
Holy
Nashville.
Cow. It was, well, there was some heartbreak there. There was some, listen, the show was nuts. So much fun. So much fun. And it's fun to watch everyone like get their sea legs, like the deplorable choir. It's legitimately, it's like these three girls from Texas who got together, like literally, and made these songs, put them on the internet, and now they're starting to like get their stage legs. Mm-hmm. And Terrence Williams is bringing it. Now here comes the sad part. Sad part number one, Brian Hayner, and Steve Mudflap McGrew and I, we went out to net at like after the show. We do the meet and greet, met a bunch of great people. Everyone had a blast. Completely nutso bonkers. So then we decide, you know what? Even though we have early flights the next day, we're in Nashville. We gotta go see, you know, some great live performances.
Broadway.
I don't know when you were in Nashville last, but oh my goodness, we went down to like the big, like the main drag.
Yep, Broadway.
Oh, it was awful.
You're kidding.
It was just, no.
Last
no,
time
it
I was there, 2015, for the NRA National Conference. And it was great.
Were you down there at night or during the day?
I was down there all the time. I mean, yeah, we were, one night a bunch of us went out and we were in the honky tonks until like 3 a.m.
Oh my gosh. Maybe it was just a bad night. It was a Sunday night.
Yeah,
we were staying relatively close. We were literally right at the end of Printer's Alley, which mm-hmm. I just should have stayed there. I just should have stayed in Printer's Alley. We went down to Broadway and it was, listen, like hip hop's not my bag. There's some stuff that I like, but this was just, the streets and sidewalks were just full of drunk people out of control. The hip hop is blaring and it's like, it was so surreal because all the bars have like these honky tonk names. They have like these country names and it's just like hip hop is blaring. DJs are making, it's like, it
hip-hop?
Just like there. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
That's weird.
I could hear zero country music. Zero.
When I was there, it was kind of like a combination of country, and then kind of the more like Matchbox 20, Black Crowes, that kind of music.
Maybe it was I'm not kidding. Maybe it was like a specialty night. Maybe it was like Hip Hop Sunday or something. I'm not
maybe.
Even kidding. And like, I don't want people to think that I don't hate hip hop. Like some of it's great. Some of it's fantastic. However, when you go to Nashville, there's an expectation of, oh, there'll be country music.
Your brain kind of went.
Yeah, there was like a disconnect. It was like being in a Twilight Zone. It would be like going to, like Disney World and suddenly the entire park is about zombies. You're like, not to say hip hop people are zombies.
I kinda like that.
But it's like that weird disconnect.
Yeah.
So that part kind of bummed me out because, Brian Hayner, and not to take away from what anyone else is doing, Brian Hayner's like a phenomenal guitarist. You guys have no idea. You have to come out to see a show. He is, he's good buddies with, Peter Frampton.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and he's played on some records that you've definitely heard and it's all fantastic. Now I'll do this last update and then I swear we're going to jump into some actual news and some politics and all that other, wonderful stuff. Terrence K. Williams, he's on the Deplorable Show. That's how I met him. He's got a huge social media presence. We hung out together for a really long weekend. When we were performing together at Mar-a-Lago, he's just a great kid. He's just a great kid. And I don't want to talk out of school about this guy, but he's now starting to talk about it on stage. He had a rough childhood. He had a rough one. There was a single mom. There was drug abuse. There was foster homes. And he's been on his own for a long time. And he's a fierce defender of the American dream, of capitalism, of this country. He loves President Trump. And he's doing it. He is the embodiment of the American dream. Like, pick yourself up from the bootstraps. I really, really like this kid. I care about him deeply. I enjoy his company. I like his videos. I legitimately don't have a bad thing to say about this human being. He got invited to the White House last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And
for the Black History Month?
And it was a very cool thing. He's got a very funny joke about it. You know, he's like going to the White House for Black History Month. He will invite some white people to go with him, but they have to agree to like carry his bags. You know, it was like that kind of thing. So he's in a Lyft or in an Uber. And I don't know how the accident happened, but I saw the pictures of it. He got crashed into pretty darn good. So he's in a hospital in DC. He's got a fractured neck and some fractures on his spine. He's got all the feeling in his fingers and toes. Well, he's good. Able to get up and walk around, but he's still in a neck brace. And so he's not 100%.
He's not going to be in the next couple shows, maybe?
God bless him. He's like, I will see you in Evansville. I will see you in Evansville. I will see you in Dubuque. And I'm like, dude, you got to take a knee. Like, I herniated a disc. Mm-hmm. And that's not even a fracture. That's just like some of that little jelly between your, you know, spinal, those discs. A little bit of that just like squirt, and that was enough. That was enough. I was down for the count for like 2 weeks. I can't imagine dealing with fractures. So, well,
as a survivor of a really bad accident who didn't have fractures, dude, stay in bed, do what your doctor says, don't worry about the book.
Yeah,
I promise.
Yeah, take a knee. So I don't think he's going to be with us this weekend in Evansville and Dubuque. And I really, honestly, I don't even want him to try. I don't even want him to try. Like, you get on a plane and there's turbulence and you get like, no. So we're sending out thoughts and prayers to Terrence. Holy smoke. That was a lot of stuff. That was a lot of stuff. I'm looking at my clock. We ate up a lot of time. So, just really quickly, you know, we'll flip-flop it. We'll do entertainment first, and then we'll close out with politics. Because entertainment, this is not going to take long. The Oscars are tonight.
Yeah, the only Oscar-nominated picture I've seen is Black Panther. So I got nothing.
Same here. Same here. I got nothing too. All I can glean from it is, if you look at the nominees, it's like Black Panther, Black Klansman, Green Book. There's a lot of learning I think we're supposed to do as a culture. That was the joke that I was doing on Fox and Friends this morning. I think this is a learning year for the Oscars.
I'm not going to pay to learn when I want to pay to be entertained.
I am saying that. Yes. And if you are going to teach me something, you better bury that message in such a great story that I don't even know I'm learning.
Super
you have to put so much sugar on that spoon, I cannot taste the medicine. You got to put so much cheeseburger on that pill that me, being a dog person, I can't taste it.
I swear to God.
I don't know.
Why do you honestly think Gen X is so freaking libertarian and just like, leave us the heck alone? Star Wars.
I think you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely right. And that goes to the politics being downstream from pop culture.
Yep.
There's such a great, and that's a timeless, that's, you know, and Star Wars, this is great. This dovetails perfectly into the discussion that I have with Lisa and Tolkien. Star Wars was just a great myth. It's just a great myth. It's King Arthur. It's Greek mythology. It's all that stuff. It's just a good story. One person can overcome, yada, yada, yada. And I think you're right. I think that had a huge impact on Gen X. And now we're reaping the millennials who came up with like the Care Bears and, Teletubbies. And you can't do it alone. You can only do it if you're part of a team, and caring is sharing. And legitimately, that is the birth of socialism. We are reaping what we have sown.
That's why millennials were on Team Iron Man and Gen Z was on Team Cap.
Yeah, yeah. It's,
and I think that whole, you know, I will still say, swear to God, Infinity War is the most pro-life movie I've ever seen. Like, in general,
yes.
Entertainment.
Yeah.
Everybody's fighting the guy who wants to control the population. I love it.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic. You know what? Here's how stupid I am. That never even occurred to me. That never even occurred to me. And that's just such an awesome, that's a strong, strong point. Yeah.
Well,
That's what
I've
Thanos is
always called
doing. Just
Thanos the love
population
child
control.
of Tom Steyer and Cecile Richards. Yeah,
With his
that's
ball
what he
sack
is. He's an
chin.
environmentalist and a population control geek. And he's the villain. I think that's awesome.
Yes, he is. And you know what else? The other wonderful thing about it is like he truly believes what he's saying.
Oh, yes.
Just like the Planned Parenthood people, just like, the dude in
The
Virginia and
socialists.
the state of New York, they're like, they believe it.
Oh,
They believe
yes.
it. And you'll see, it'll be better. It'll be
With a
better.
near religious fervor.
Okay. You guys, we have a great show for you. We're gonna get to my interview with Lisa Tate, who's phenomenal. You're gonna love her. I had a great conversation with her. And then on the other side of that, we're gonna talk some politics. We have to talk about Jussie Smollett. We gotta talk about Laura Logan, North Korea. We gotta talk about socialism and all this wonderful stuff. It's a great, great show. You got a good one. You got a good one. Here's my interview with Lisa Tate. Okay, as promised, we've got an ongoing set of interviews with what I like to call the LoftusParty.com OGs. A couple weeks ago, Paul Hare, we were talking to him. I have Lisa Tate with us. Lisa is broadcasting from somewhere in North America. Lisa, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes,
Ken,
oh
can you
yes,
hear
we
me?
made it.
Okay. Yes.
I can.
It seems like just
Our two
yesterday
cans
or.
and piece of string is working.
Cool. But you can't hear me?
Yes, fantastic. Now, you brought balance to the force, I guess, with the LoftusParty.com. It's one of the things that I really, really dig about the site. I love the whole geek culture aspect of the site. I like what you're doing. I love what Paul is doing. I love what I bring. And as people discover the site and they're starting to interact more, it's awesome. So I'll tell you, gentle listeners right now, Lisa and I are going to geek out a little bit. It's going to be a little bit geeky. A couple things. Lisa and I are big Studio Ghibli fans. If you don't know who Studio Ghibli is, well, prepared to go to school for a little bit. And I understand, Lisa, you're also a big Tolkien fan.
Huge, I'm quote unquote one of those, I actually love Tolkien.
I am too, and I actually have my first tattoo picked out, and it's gonna be. There's a couple things that I want the tattoo of, and I got to do it. But my first, I think the first one that I'm gonna get, I'm gonna tell you two things. It's from Tolkien, and it will be in Elven. So that's what a
Are
geek I
you
am for this thing.
gonna get the not the little nine that all the original cast members had? Are you? Do they have the little?
No.
Good, because.
This is something of my own design, but it will feature Elvish script, and it will also feature the Tree of Gondor.
Oh, wow.
I'm not even kidding. I'm not even kidding.
Wow.
Yeah, I've saved all these images from Pinterest. I put the whole thing together.
I always like the Rohan images.
Yeah. Yeah,
Those are
they're
always
good.
my favorite.
They're really good stuff. Okay, so here's I want to get caught up. Here's like some basic, not some basic questions, but like here's some things that I want to know. What's the last really great movie you saw?
The last really great movie I saw back in the theater.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It can be in the it can be theater, it can be Blu-ray, but what did you see where you were like, damn, that was impressive. That was original. That was good. I enjoyed it.
Oh man. And it's sad. You know, I've been really bad about getting out to the theaters. I mentioned animation with the Oscars coming up. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse on big screen is probably one of the prettiest
Now, I missed that one. I didn't see that, and I'm bumming. I'm kicking myself. It looked like a cash grab from Sony. It looked like they were hitting the ATM. They were just churning out. But I heard great things about that movie.
My initial impression was that too, because you know, there's been jokes. It's like, okay, how many Spider-Mans now? We've gone through the three with Tobey Maguire, and then. And now we're up to Tom Holland, who I can't remember the guy in between, and now they did the other ones that are Miles Morales, by the way, who was created by my favorite comic book writer, Brian Michael Bendis.
So wow.
That's one reason I wanted to see it, because I love Bendis' writing. And it's really impressive. You know, even if you don't like the Spider-Man universe, it's amazing to see what they did visually and blend these styles of animation. I mean, as far as artwork, it's just wow. And I'm somebody that doesn't give a rat's behind about whether there's girls or whether there's boys or whether there's people of whatever color skin, from green to blue to black to white. I want a good story, and that's all I care about, and that's all anybody should care about when they're writing.
Well,
I think it did it right.
You just nailed it on the head. As fate would have it, I thought it was a really smart joke. I was on Fox and Friends this morning, and we were talking about the Oscars,
mm-hmm.
and the girl who's playing Ms. Marvel or Captain Marvel, whatever, in the new Marvel movie.
Originally, Captain Marvel.
And was like. She's like, oh, I don't want a bunch of guys interviewing me. It's all, you know, blah blah blah, girl power. And then I'm a huge Tolkien fan. I'm like right off the shelves in terms of geek culture and yeah. Star Wars as well. And with Kathleen Kennedy and the people from Star Wars, they have a story that sucks, and then they wrap themselves up with, oh, it's because you can't handle a strong female character. So I told this
was annoying to me.
It's yeah. So annoying. I did this joke on Fox and Friends today.
It's you like, know, like, I love yeah, they've never, strong female they, characters. I love Princess Leia since I was 7. There have always been girls in Star Wars. You know,
my goodness, yeah. There's always been powerful women in Hollywood. Yeah. Freaking Gone with the Wind.
Yes.
Gone with the Wind, for crying. The Alien franchise.
My thing is this. Don't hide behind people being mean to you because you didn't write a good character. I don't care what gender they are. And, you know, they brought in characters in the latest Star Wars that looked like, we're just going to throw these in here. And, yeah, there's nothing wrong with Rey. And to me, it was, my biggest gripe with Force Awakens was books and books and books and books of Star Wars I've read over the years. It's like, wait a minute, where's Mara Jade? Where are the Solo twins? What are you killing off on? You know, and that was my biggest gripe, but I figured they were going a different direction. And it looked like it was going to be okay. And then when Last Jedi came out, they just threw characters in there that didn't need to be in there, and they screwed up Poe, and they, I don't know. My reasonings were they just did not put that movie together.
Well, here's, and I'll tell you exactly why. Here's my reasoning on it. When J.J. Abrams was putting together Star Wars The Force Awakens, he got the art department together, and they put together all these really cool visuals. Yeah. And so he wrote a script that would incorporate these certain visuals. And I'm like, dude, you were wrong from Jump Street. You were wrong from Jump Street. You need to write a great story, yes. And then the great visuals will follow. You don't reverse engineer that. Well, yes, I can say, like, when the bad guy from the Empire is addressing the troops and it's this big, like, Nazi Germany and outer space thing, yes, that looked cool, and it's cool for the trailer, but, like, it ultimately was hollow. When I was watching the movie, it meant nothing. And that's... I don't like it. I don't like it. Yeah. I don't like it. They're ruining Star Wars. And then I want to get to this too. Because, you know, I'm a big capitalist guy and yada yada, but they're, in my opinion, they're about to ruin, Tolkien. They're about to ruin the Lord of the Rings. I'm really, really worried about, now that's Amazon, right?
Amazon Prime, and I have really enjoyed what I've seen on Amazon Prime. You know, anyone who knows me knows, you know, I'm a huge, car nut. I write for that. I'm one of the geeky contributors to Drive Tribe community, and I love Grand Tour, and I love what they did for the Tick. I thought that was right. And I'm looking forward to Good Omens, but it's like, it's like, leave Lord of the Rings alone, please. You know, I don't know if you guys are going to do it right. You know, I'm a little worried.
Yeah, I'm worried too. And just as a little bit of a backstory, so everybody's on the same page. And I'm also worried about this Tolkien biopic that's coming out.
I'm more optimistic about that one.
That should be fun. But the thing is, it's like, it's weird, and I have such an affinity for the guy. Tolkien went out of his way in the preface to Lord of the Rings to say this isn't an allegory. This has nothing to do with World War One or World War Two. It's just a great story. That's all it is. It's not about anything, but it's a great story. It's not about Hitler. It's just a great story.
Yeah, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. I'm a huge Christian, and even as a huge Christian, I appreciate what Tolkien did, but he didn't pull a C.S. Lewis, and I love C.S. Lewis. He didn't pull a C.S. Lewis and say this is going to be a symbol of Christianity. It's not. It's a story, and it's a great adventure. And yeah, everything in his past is going to influence him, but he wrote it as a standalone. It's a story, and he just wants to bring you into that world.
Yeah. Now, here's what I've done a little bit of research into this, because I was so heartbroken when I found out that Amazon was going to go ahead with some like bizarre prequel thing. So Tolkien, the only reason he sold the movie rights to The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings is because, you know, it's back in the 1950s, 1960s, and those movies were so epic. They're on such a grand scale. He knew they could never be filmed. He just knew you can't do it. So ha ha ha. The laugh's on you. Now we enter the world of computers and computer animation and blah, 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 blah. So now we have those movies. But Tolkien is dead. His son Christopher, who is the guardian of the estate and, you know, he did The Fall of Gondolin and all these other unfinished manuscripts. So he's in his 90s and he knows he's on his way out. He's about to go to the great mystery. So he puts together like a board of trustees.
Yes.
He puts together a board of trustees to make sure that no one can go in and pillage his dad's estate. And so he puts together this board of trustees. They all agree. And then the moment Christopher Tolkien leaves the room, they undercut him. They voted. They went behind his back. They threw him under the bus. And it's just extremely disheartening. It's just such a bummer.
Yeah, that leaves a bad taste. You know, it really does. And the thing is about as far as prequel, well, there actually is a written prequel to everything that happened. So I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, I don't know what direction they're going to try to take.
Evidently, the word on the street, what I've been hearing from my sources at Hollywood, is it's not the Silmarillion, it's going to be the appendices to Lord of the Rings. It'll be young Aragorn running around with the Rangers and trying to find Gollum and yada, yada, yada. So it'll kind of be, I guess, the equivalent of Gotham.
I know I've heard you and Stacey argue about this. I absolutely enjoy them. There are some characters I can't stand on it, but they're... I love some of the other character development, but
I just didn't have the patience for it.
Well, it started out, Bruce is actually grown a pair. He's coming into Batman really well. But the development of Penguin and then Riddler is probably my favorite, this complexity. And then they have this whole weird, almost evil boy band of villains. And each one's just a new level of crazy. Zazz is depicted great. And Mad Hatter is great. And, it's just fun to watch the villains. And the guy who is Joker, who they aren't calling Joker yet, is phenomenal.
Yeah. Now, what are you excited about the new Joker movie coming out?
It depends. I think Joaquin Phoenix is a fantastic actor, and I think if anybody can play that level, it will. Joker's my favorite villain in any comic book of all time. And he always says, because Batman, you know, I'm Batman's my favorite. No matter who comes out new, I'm always going to love the old Batmans. And that's why it makes me so mad when they overuse him, and they keep reusing him and reusing him and rebooting him and giving it to Affleck and ruining him. but I think he's going to do great in it. But then I keep hearing they're bringing all this political anti-Trump, anti-this. It's like, why can't you guys just make it a movie about this crazy villain who's doing great, crazy things? And, you know, just leave that out for once.
That is the thing that I just can't get past. And it's almost like the secret sauce in my... Well, now, and you could look at my track record and go, you know, what screenplay have you written? What great novel have you written? However, the way I base everything that I do, if I'm working on a sitcom, if I'm working on a screenplay, and this is for the other writers out there, the point where I start is, what if this was real? What if this was real? And usually that's when you get your best results. Like Batman Begins, the whole Christopher Nolan, like you can tell he started off from a point of, what if this was real?
Oh,
and that's where you lose me. When you just, like with the Justice League, it's like, oh, okay, it happens because it'll look cool. He'll say this because it'll sound cool. It's like, no, you lost me. That's not real. It's not reality.
Yeah, Batman wanted to bring up the doomsday clock and climate change, and maybe that's an issue for the writer. That's good if that's their issue. I don't mind. But Batman wanted to do it. You know, I thought it was so, they just made him so out of character.
Right, and it's like, why? Like with Justice League, why is Batman out rounding up superheroes? Why does Batman want to kill Superman in Batman versus? It's just they lost me. It was horrible. It was hot garbage. I feel bad for the franchise because, like you, Batman's my guy.
That's they're ruining him. They're overusing him. But that's, I think, what I kind of like about Gotham is I always read. I liked the comic GCPD. And I like to see the focus on Gordon. I think, oh my gosh, my mind just went blank. The one in the Nolan, Gary Oldman, I think he was one of the best Gordons.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he did a fantastic job. But, you know, the young Gordon's great in this, and it's cool to see how he's kind of coming on his own. I don't know what they're doing with that Barbara character.
I checked out after season one. I tapped out.
The villains get better. Watching the development of the villains is great. And then they brought in Fish Mooney was pretty good, but then they got rid of her, and I think she would have been interesting one. She started getting nuts. And see, I love that level of nuts in the villains. I think that's kind of my guilty pleasure, is just watching the crazy.
Yeah, that's always a good time. And then I hear that they've got there's an Alfred project in development.
I'm kind of looking forward to that because it might be James Bondy. And then that's another one in Gotham. Sam Pertwee, who is the son of the third Doctor in Doctor Who, is Alfred in Gotham. And he is just badass. I mean, you really like Alfred. In Gotham, but I think they're trying to make it kind of the young years where you got to see just how Alfred doesn't be as tough as he is in a lot of the new movies.
Yeah. I you know what? I'll give it a shot, but I'm always going to come back to, you know, where's Batman? Listen, if I'm going to watch Gotham, I want to see Batman. Now, while I still have you here, Do you have any fan theories on Avengers Infinity War about how that's going to play out?
I do, but I don't think it's the direction they're going to go. I think Doctor Strange knows what he's doing. Listen to him. I think the whole thing with this is the only way. I think he's the one who figured it out. My biggest gripe right now with Marvel is, you know, like they're pushing the Captain Marvel thing and they want this character. So they should have waited till after Endgame to bring her in and then start a whole series with it. Because when you read, you know, the Infinity Gauntlet and the whole series, Adam Warlock, for you purists, and a lot of people are always ticked off, don't bring in Adam. He said, yeah. He's the one who basically saved him. And it looked like they were going to bring him in at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy because she said, I created this man, and it's Adam. Remember the postscript? I said, oh, well, this is it. We're bringing in Infinity. Adam's coming, and he's going to turn everybody back in time. And, you know, anybody who's read it knows what happens. You know, everybody that disappeared at the end of that's coming back, obviously. But I don't want them bringing in Captain Marvel to save everybody.
It's horrible.
Because she knew. I want her to, if you guys want to create her and push her, bring her in after this happened. If you really want to make it for the movies only, let the original five or six Avengers, including, you know, you got Iron Man, Black Widow, Thor, all the original ones, they're still living. Let them come together and be the saviors. Bring it back to the originals.
Exactly.
And then I'm with go you on to that. Your next generation week, you know?
Yeah. Don't introduce a new character in the last chapter of the story to save the day. That would absolutely drive me bonkers. Okay, so yeah. I know you do wonderful stuff at theloftusparty.com. You're doing great stuff there. Where else can people find your work?
Well, I've been writing for probably about 4 years now for Geek Mom, and we're all across the political spectrum and everything. I am apolitical in all of my writing and stuff. I like pushing creativity. You can see me there.
I love it.
I've been doing the arts and entertainment scene here in the Southwest, where I've been writing for about 20 years. And, you know, this is the main places online. You can catch me on Geek Mom if you're into cars at all. So you can follow me on Drive Tribe. I've got a little small tribe there, which is parts and crafts, and then the Literate Petrolhead, which is I just like to share books that car lovers might like, and then, you know, crafts and creations and stuff that people have upcycled the things. You know, anyone who follows me on Twitter, at least in Geek Mom, knows my whole shtick is.
That's fantastic.
Creativity. I want to see what people are doing out there, and I want to share it.
I dig it. I like, we dig people who draw. We dig people who make music. We dig people who create. And Lisa, I'm so glad you were able to join us. Lisa, the Geek Mom, make sure you're following her. Go to all the wonderful outlets that she's involved with, including theloftusparty.com. Lisa, have a great day. We're gonna have to circle back. We're gonna have to circle back so we can bitch about Infinity War and all that other stuff.
Any time now, I figured out how to use the microphone properly.
I love it.
I'm terrible with Skype, so but yeah, anytime. It's been a blast.
It's all good. We'll do it again. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I like her. I like that Lisa Tate.
I good found people. Her. I take credit for her.
I tell you, keep going, keep finding them. I love it. We've got some the website's going wonderfully. The website's going wonderfully. I'm not going to put the cart before the horse, but things are clicking along, and there's some sunshine on the future.
Apology?
Say what?
Can I tender an apology to some people who subscribed and there was a functionality in the site that I didn't know about?
Oh, tell me.
I actually had to approve you to be able to post, so I went through and approved like 300 people.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not.
Gypsy, what have you done?
Well, I didn't know you had to do that. I thought once you signed up, you could post.
Oh my gosh.
I've never not had an account, so I didn't realize. So I went in and gave everybody the correct status, and I'm going in twice a week now to give any new people the correct status, so within a couple days of subscribing, you'll be able to post.
I am so conflicted right now.
Kill me, and you're like, okay, glad you found it.
Yes, that's it in a nutshell.
I'm so sorry.
I want to smack you upside the head. However, it makes sense. It makes sense. Like, I'm like, wow, people are, why aren't people digging this? Why aren't they doing it? We weren't letting them in. I'm sorry, you guys.
It's
I'm not
my
laughing
fault.
'Cause it's horrible.
It's all my fault. I thought it was just locked and loaded, and once you subscribed, there you were.
Oh, you know what? You're in so much trouble.
You're in so much trouble crap.
Right now.
All fixed.
Okay, so we fixed it. We're good. Mm-hmm. Can Paul, listen, you guys, we're now literally talking shop on the podcast. Can Paul do this too? Can Paul approve
yes,
people?
Yes, Paul can, I believe.
Okay, so if you're checking a couple times a week, maybe Paul can check a couple times a week. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, I feel horrible. Because I'm inviting these people, like, all you have to do is sign up and you're good to go. All you have to do is sign up and they were doing it. You know what? Here's how I'm going to look at it. Here's how I'm going to look at it, Gypsy of the slapped head. It's all good.
That hurt.
We've discovered it. We've remedied the situation. So now we're good to go. Now we're good to go.
We were new
when
in
did,
the Maven.
When did you realize your mistake?
Before. So
say what?
Well, we just never did that platform before. So like when we had the previous website, all you did was register and you could comment on the articles and whatever. I never had to approve anyone before.
Yeah.
That was new when we moved.
Well, hey. Listen, we can't go back in time, and everyone, this is like, I'm learning it as you're learning it right now in this moment. So I am conflicted. I feel horrible for the people who've been trying to post. However, now it's been fixed. We can only move forward. We can only move forward. Holy, but you know how excited I am right now?
Yeah, no, it didn't come with an instruction manual.
But here's the deal. Here's the exciting part. Like, I'm not going to – listen, I'm not going to beat you up over this. Here's the exciting part. Now it's like the floodgates are opened.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. It's all – well, it's not wonderful, but it's all – ooh, now I'm super excited to see what will happen. This
because,
is great.
Like,
my apologies to everybody.
Some great super fans, like our friend Mark Abney from Facebook, right?
He's
always been there and been commenting and whatever. I'm like, why isn't Mark saying anything? Now I know why. And now he
okay.
can.
All right. So this is, it's, again, I apologize to everybody, but like I was at the top of the show, you guys, like I've never done this before. So I sincerely apologize, but welcome aboard. Welcome aboard, everybody. Okay, we got to get to some politics. I don't want to run out of time. We'll keep it fast and we'll move right along. I think the big one between they kind of go hand in hand is the Jesse Smollett thing and Laura Logan from 60 Minutes. It's wonderful to watch the rest of the world catch up, and this is something that Gypsy, you and I have said on this show since we've started. Mm-hmm. We've always been like ahead of the curve. And in talking about the media, and you can go back and look at the YouTube channel and listen to old episodes of this podcast. And the rest of the world is catching up to us. When you have a 60 Minutes, like we had Cheryl Axon on the show and she was saying it. It's now, there's no denying it. The left runs the media. The media is biased. It is the mainstream media leans to the left. You cannot deny it. And now even more and more journalists are saying it. So I guess I don't feel good about it, but.
Did you see the montage? There's a video service out there that, like websites and stuff can use. It's called Grabian. Did you see the montage of the Jesse Smollett commentary when Brian Stelter and all those other mainstream folks were saying, well, we wanted and needed to believe that because, you know, we were compassionate. No, you wanted and needed to believe it because it fit your narrative. Here, look at this video. And the video is pretty great.
It's I'm gonna need to see that. I definitely want to see it. But it's like, how can you? Isn't there a third one? Because you've got like the Covington Catholic school kids.
Kavanaugh. Where
that fit the that Kavanaugh. Yeah, that mm-hmm. that fit the narrative. Gotta go get them. Mm-hmm. The Covington kids fit the narrative. Gotta go get them. Mm-hmm. Jesse Smollett fit the narrative. Gotta go get them. Gotta go get them. And it's like, how many times are these morons gonna burn their hands on a hot stove before they learn? And they still don't. It's like they all got the same pamphlet to watch them pivot. And once I say this, you'll hear it, and you probably have heard it already. But it's like, you'll have the interviewer talking to a reporter. Well, it seems like the media overreacted. It seems like it was kind of a rush to judgment. They go, well, it was, but these hate crimes, there are a large number of, they pivot so fast. They don't lose a breath. They go right to, yes, we're wrong, but there are a bunch, and it just drives me crazy. It's like trying to nail Jell-O to a wall.
Well, the Southern Poverty Law Center dropped their annual report. That killed me. Did you see that pile of garbage?
My tweet on that was along these lines. I want to make fun of these results. However, I don't want to be on the list. And
right.
It's like, I want to know.
So I mocked the crap out of them in 2017 because I looked at my racist southern state of Georgia, right?
Yeah.
Awful here. Do you know what our biggest problem in 2017 was? Nation of Islam.
A shortage
and other,
of crispy chicken.
Well, that too. Nation of Islam, and we had 14 black separatist groups. They were the largest single hate group category in the state of Georgia.
That's hilarious.
So I did a huge thread on it, right, last year, because I love making fun of them, and I don't care if they put me on the list. So then I go to this year, and we got more hate groups in Georgia than we did last year, so I start clicking through them, and I look at I divide them down by category. Somehow we went down to 10 black separatist groups, and so I'm like, wait a minute. And I go back to 2014 or 2017.
Yeah.
Now there's only 10 on that map too. They manipulate their own maps. Because I have the screenshot from last year. There were 14. Now if you go to 2017, there's only 10. And there are exactly two more hate groups nationally under Trump than the highest year under Obama. I already found two in Georgia they can take off the list. Then we're even.
It's, that was my whole thing with, like, what constitutes, what are they calling a hate group? Like, I don't even know what their parameters are. It's like, to me, and this is bad and dangerous, but, like, to me, the Southern Poverty Law Center, they don't even exist. It doesn't even, like, it's like Media Matters. Yes, they exist, and they're up to no good, and yada yada, but, like, I don't want to devote... I'm glad you're devoting energy to it. I'm glad that I know you and that you know this stuff. Cause like now, like knowledge is king, but like, I'm like, oh my gosh, do I really have the energy to go through here and click and blah, blah, blah. Thank God you do.
Oh, I'm like insanely curious like that. And I'm roasting them tomorrow because one of the new hate groups in Georgia is made up of families who have a victim of illegal immigrant crime in their family. Some who've been murdered. So some of them are actually angel families. And they are classed, and they advocate for border security, support our customs and border patrol agents, et cetera, and are supportive of President Trump's immigration agenda. They're an anti-immigrant hate group, even though the only type of immigration they talk about at all is illegal immigration.
I'm so glad you know that, because that's like what my gut would tell me, like that would be in there. Like there's some people who are the victim of crime, and so they're anti-crime. And that now makes them part of the Southern Poverty Law Center hate group. That's madness. That's like George Seriously, it's like something out of a George Orwell or out of an Ayn Rand novel. People who are trying to do good who are now called evil. It's the worst. It's the worst, which is a great segue to the next thing. Like, I'm so happy and thrilled about this Nick Sandman, the Covington kid, and his family and their lawsuit. I love this lawsuit. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Here's a hint for the media and you bozos like Kathy Griffin out in Hollywood. Don't dox kids. It's wrong.
Yeah.
Just don't do it.
Yeah. And don't, like, you have to do the basic, the fundamentals of your job. If you're a reporter for, like, the Washington Post or the New York Times, there has to be repercussions for making this poor kid out to look like, you know, the love child of Hitler and Thanos. Like, you can't do that. You're just not allowed to turn some poor kid into a villain when he did absolutely nothing wrong except for smile awkwardly. I want them to be in trouble. I want them to be in trouble. I want there to be a lawsuit. I don't know what the settlement's going to be. You know, they've asked for $250 million, because I guess that's what Wutch's dude paid for the New York Post when he bought it. But, like, it's just the idea of it. I want them to get dragged into court. I want them to at least get their noses rubbed in their poop. Whether they have to pay or not, seriously, whether they have to write a check or not, I don't care.
No, I mean, I had absolutely no problem with President Trump wishing young Mr. Sandman well in his endeavors, because remember, you guys, we all lived through 8 years of Barack Obama commenting on every contentious issue in the culture war that he possibly could.
Yeah.
And, you know, turnabout's fair play. Turnabout is fair play. I'm tired. I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of not punching back. And I'm literally going to start punching. These people are garbage. They're garbage human beings, period.
Yeah, and it's great. You have to start, you know, taking them to the mat. And that's the wonderful thing. That's the other wonderful side effect about Trump is, like, that dude is not afraid to fight. He is not afraid to fight. They teased us again with this whole Mueller probe thing is about to be over, but then they say it's not going to be over. Boy, am I ready for that to be done. Say what?
So that's another thing I'm sick of.
Oh, yeah. That's when we look
McCabe
back at this
should just needs to shut up.
People, seriously, I don't know if you saw the latest video I have on the latest one I did was Jesse Smollett, and then the one before that is Andrew McCabe. It's like people need to get into trouble. This is another one where you have to call people out on this. It's what I said in the video, but it's like, I don't want any more congressional hearings on this because nothing ever happens.
No.
But people need to get in trouble. It's like when Mueller wants to go after Manafort, he does it in, like, the New York, you know, court or somehow. It's like that's what the Republicans need to do with these Clapper, Comey, McCabe. Mm-hmm. All of them, all these dudes who just, like, go in and lie in front of Congress, and they lie and they lie, and they go on TV and they lie, and then, you know, the internal investigation of the FBI says, no, McCabe, you're a bad apple, you gotta go. Like, someone needs to go to jail. Someone needs to get into trouble. Hillary Clinton with, you know, destroying the laptop and they're trying to adjust top secret stuff that was on Huma Abedin's laptop that Anthony Weiner had. Like, people need to get in trouble. We can't have two sets of laws. You were saying?
James Baker, the attorney for the he was either in the DOJ or the FBI. He did some testimony in front of Congress, and it hasn't been made public, but a certain reporter was allowed to review it, and apparently he was prepared to charge Hillary Clinton.
He felt what
she did needed to be prosecuted. He was talked out of it.
How can you convince me, like, seriously, when that kid who's on board a submarine has one picture on his computer and he goes to jail, you can't convince me that Hillary Clinton, Huma Abedin, and a whole slew of people didn't break the law. And that's the other thing with James Comey when he came out and did his, you know, famous thing. There's no prosecutor in the land would go after this. Well, tell that to the kid on the submarine because he's rotten in jail, but he got out. They got him out. Okay. A couple of other things. Bernie Sanders has entered the Democratic field. We have a huge field of Democrats now.
Did you see the Newsweek cover where they're all peeking through the window?
No, I didn't.
Oh my God. Don't look at that on social media. It is so funny. Was it Newsweek or Time? But it has like every potential Democrat nominee peeking through the window in the Oval Office, like that one picture. You remember the one with Biden looking out?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the reverse of that with all of them looking in. It's hysterical.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
I was like...
So, just really quickly, of the ones that I can remember, just off the top of my head, like Bernie Sanders, he doesn't worry me. That he's just... I think his time has passed. I think people... They love him for what he stood up for. He was the little guy going up against big, mean Hillary Clinton. I don't know how well he'll do. The one that's really, she scares me really is Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris, that former prosecutor, she withheld evidence. A lot of people went to jail. She threw a lot of people in jail who did not deserve to be there. She came down, and it's the level of hypocrisy with her, how she went after the pot smokers, how she went after the people for marijuana charges, and then she's on some radio station or doing some interview talking about how much she loved smoke pot and how it just brings people joy. And isn't that awesome? And it's like, man, her ability to shift gears like that, that's terrifying to me. Like I would not want to, if she was the judge and I was the defendant, I would tell my lawyers, we got to get this trial moved. Cause that she'll just do anything to lock you up and then smile and she's like Salem witch trial judge to me. It's that level.
She's tripping a lot, which I think doesn't bode well.
Well, I guess she recently had a rally where she churned out a lot of people. A lot of people showed up. I'm concerned about her,
but I don't use her name. Our friend Dave Goss, do you remember Dave? He started TrumpSingles.com.
Yeah, Dave. Yeah.
He refers to her and always has in every conversation I've had with him since I met him at CPAC. He just calls her Willie Brown's mistress. So.
Well, but that goes to the level of she will do anything to win, right?
Yep.
She's like, who do I have to bang? Who do I have to bang? Mm-hmm. So, who else is in there? I don't know. There was
Amy Klobuchar, the one that eats salad with a comb.
Yeah, but you know what? That's like, in a weird way, that's endearing. That's endearing. Cause she's like, who gets me a salad without a fork? And then she's like, nah, I'm gonna use a comb. And then she makes some wacky clean the comb. It's like, in a weird way, I find it, she was gonna eat that salad come hell or high water. I don't think she's gonna be in there for long.
Liz Warren.
Another one who scares me. Literally, just like this is my emotional reaction. Kamala Harris scares me. Elizabeth Warren scares me. Cause
her time has passed too. I think if she had run in 16, she would have beat Hillary in the primary.
Yeah. And I agree with you there too. But like just her ability to keep going when they're like, you said you were an Indian. Oh, I never did that for personal gain. Okay, you did it to get a teaching job. Okay, but beyond that, I didn't do anything. Well, actually, you did it to get into law school. Well, she can just be presented with the facts and just keep going.
You know who my favorite is though.
Who?
Well, I'm highly entertained by Cory Booker because I've never met a more earnest person in my entire life.
He's the worst actor ever.
I know. He's just so passionate all the time. And it's like,
I know.
Take
I
it know. Down a notch. The one I love is Kirsten Gillibrand. Simply because if you go back through her political history, she has held every position on every policy issue at some point in time.
Yeah,
like, if you go back and look at how she voted, she got elected out of Albany, New York. She came from red New York.
Yeah.
And now she's all about abolishing ICE. Like, she's insane. And she's worse than Hillary as far as authenticity, spontaneity, and presentation. Oh my God, you can see the gears shifting as she figures out what she's going to do with her hands.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, that's. Oh God, I'm so glad you said that, because that you just reminded me of a thing I wanted to do about Beto O'Rourke. There's so much that I need to do. We've run out of time on this show. I'm gonna jump over to LoftusParty.com, which evidently you guys can do now too. That Gypsy's figured it out. I'm gonna write a thing about the Oscars. And then remind me that I want to talk about how jealous is that Kyrsten Sinema of AOC.
No kidding.
Right? Like, she comes in, she's the hot blonde, the first openly bisexual, you know, yada yada, and Sky now boots. AOC is, right? She's sucking all the oxygen out of the room, and now you've got like this hot blonde cheerleader, like, why is no one looking at me? I think that's funny.
That might have been why she wore the thigh boots.
It might have been. Well, listen, I tell you what, I'm going to encourage that behavior. I'm going to encourage her to do whatever it takes in terms of her choice of outfits to get more attention. She's, I don't know, I find her strange, not strangely appealing. She's hot. She's hot. I like it. We didn't get to Robert Kraft. I'm going to try to... Gosh, there's so much to do today. I'm going to try to write a thing about Robert Kraft. I feel bad for the guy. I really do. Like, the whole... But there's something nice in knowing that even, like, a billionaire, even a guy that successful still has to, like, pay for a handy. It's like... Everyone has the same problems.
It wouldn't have been illegal if you just bought her a nice dinner.
Well, here's the...
just
here's,
saying.
It wouldn't have been illegal, but then he's so seriously, I've thought about this a lot. But then now it gets very expensive. Like, if he goes to, there's something wonderfully naive. Like, he doesn't go to the high end, call girl. He doesn't spend the $40,000 for the weekend. Now, what that happens is, like, the $40,000 type girls, they're not gonna tell your secrets. That's an expensive weekend. And you're like, man, I really just want this one little thing. I really just want this one little thing. And the shortest distance between two points is a massage parlor in Florida. And cause you don't, like, if you take her out and get in and buy her dinner, then she can maybe blackmail you. It goes to a really, so anyway, but we'll see what happens. He says he's not guilty. I don't want to get in trouble for talking out of school, but even the owner of the Patriots, and oh my, and he's a widower. The poor guy, shouldn't he get a free pass? He's a widower. He should get a free pass. Okay. That is the show. We have solved a big problem with the LoftusParty.com. The Gypsy's very, very sorry. I didn't know. So I wash my hands of this, but Gypsy is going to write you all apology notes. She's going to start right now. She's got 300 of them to write. There's going to be an explosion. It's going to be so awesome. There's going to be a giant explosion at LoftusParty.com. Thank you guys for your patience. You're awesome. Thanks for subscribing to the YouTube channel. Thanks for your patronage on Patreon. Thanks for telling people about this podcast. Go to iTunes. Give stars. You're fantastically awesome. And now you're allowed on the website. I'll talk to you next week.